Everyone loves a good family mystery, especially one with as many twists and turns as June's journey. Step into the role of June Parker and search for hidden clues to uncover the mystery of her sister's murder. June's Journey is a hidden object mystery game with a captivating detective story taking you back to the glamour of the 1920s with a diverse cast of characters. And if you know me, you know I love the 20s era.
Engage your sense of observation to find hidden clues. Search for hidden objects from the parlors of New York to the sidewalks of Paris and uncover a collection of dazzling hidden object spectacles for you to solve. We're all here because we love drama and thrills, right? Well, this game has the perfect twists and turns to keep your brain asking, what happened here? You can chat and play with or against others by joining a detective club. Can you crack the case? Download June's Journey for free today on iOS and Android.
This episode is supported by FX's Clipped, the scandalous story of the 2014 Clippers owner's racist remarks captured on tape and heard around the world. The series charts the tape's impact on a dysfunctional basketball organization striving to win against their reputation as the most cursed team in the league. Starring Lawrence Fishburne, Jackie Weaver, Cleopatra Coleman, and Ed O'Neill. FX's Clipped, streaming June 4th, only on Hulu.
Hey everybody, welcome to another Pop Culture Kiki of Beyond the Blinds. As always, it's me, Kelly Williams.
And Troy McEady.
And I'm sure some of you are looking at the timestamp, wondering if there's a Vanderpump Rules mention. No, we are recording before the premiere airs, but I'm sure next week we'll have plenty to talk about with that.
Yes.
Luckily, nothing happened over the weekend.
Nothing crazy, especially in the rap world. It was weirdly chill.
So I wanted to start this segment by just saying this. I think blind item pages are almost like the new, like, Bravo pages on Instagram, right? Blind items are having a big moment. Troy and I mean, I make TikTok videos never about blind items because, like, you know, not all celebrities are going to like it, right? And somehow, knock on every wood in my apartment, we haven't been contacted by anyone.
Yeah.
And I just want to say, like, overall, I think there's enough space for all creators to talk about blind items if they want. You know, I think people put their own spin on it. And I think as long as people aren't stealing the actual, like, words that other people say, there's not a ton to, like, stand on.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's like, it's anonymous gossip. It's like reading, like, a page out of Us Weekly and then somebody else reading it and being like, that's my Us Weekly reading. You know what I mean? Like, you kind of just can't really do that. And also, blind items are having such an interesting resurgence in, like, mainstream news and in mainstream media and on the internet, on TikTok and stuff. Like, it's kind of unregulated. And it's, to me, it kind of feels like the Wild West in a way. Because, like, it's obviously going to change. It already has completely changed the way we look at celebrities and the way we look at Hollywood and stuff. And it's not new, but this internet version of it, this new modern social media version of blind items is very new.
And there's a big reason why Troy and I aren't on TikTok or YouTube. And I genuinely don't think we could have, like, as popular of a show as we do, because not only are you, you know, maybe getting called out by Nicki Minaj, but you also have so many more people in your ear.
And, like, people who don't know this world, that's what's so messy about it. It's like, I still see comments on, like, of course, I follow a few blind item people on TikTok, and I still see comments of people being like, what is this? What's a blind item? What are you talking about? Like, I like that the people who listen to our show, it's kind of like inside baseball-ish.
Yeah.
I mean, like, they just get it. Whereas, like, when you're putting it out into the world on social media, sometimes, like, especially on TikTok, where anybody can just find it. That's intense. Scary.
So with that, we don't condone, like, any doxing. We don't condone any of that. Hi, Nicki Minaj. There is a reason why we put certain episodes behind a paywall. Sometimes it's just like we pick two good episodes and we want one. Sometimes it just works out that way. Our Nicki Minaj episode is titled, I Hope Nicki Doesn't Dox Us For This.
Hi, Barbs.
Welcome to the talk.
Oh God.
I
Oh.
think just the fact that like Nicki has this much time on her hands is crazy. And honestly, celebrity, you did not deserve the hate that you got on TikTok. You did not deserve any of that when like, listen, everyone talks about blind items now. Celebrity, unfortunately, yours got big.
I'm also just like, okay, here's the thing. This is where my mind has been this whole week with this whole Nicki Minaj thing. Is this not who Nicki Minaj has always been? Am I in the Twilight Zone?
I think the thing is with this specific album cycle and how she's promoted it, she's come across ominously, as she does with most album cycles, like very fun. And she's on like people's Twitches and going Instagram live and like maybe not laughing at with people, but yelling at people and having a good time doing it. That I think people thought maybe Nicki grew and changed a little. Barbs are gonna attack our reviews.
I know. I'm gonna just say this as a non-barb. I've always viewed this is the way that I've always viewed Nicki's like cycle. Is she'll say something horrendous or do something horrendous or support somebody horrendous because she loves being surrounded by fucking sex offenders. And then the public will eat her up and be mad at her about it. And then the barbs will kind of bully people into submission until they stop acknowledging this glaring thing that she's done. And it's been that way for an extremely long time. Like I follow somebody on TikTok who made a list of all of her feuds, and it was over 40 people.
Oh my
Like
God.
she is this is all she's ever done. So I was really like shocked by the public's response that this seemed to be like the final straw. Where people are like, if you're a Nicki Minaj fan now, like you, there's something wrong with you because this is the worst thing she's done. Is it? Is it the worst thing she's done? Have we not known Nicki to do much more horrendous things and still listen to her music? She's been married for a while. She's had a baby for a good amount of time. We've all known about her husband. We all watched Nicki publicly try and I don't even know what word you would use to describe it. Like, take down the girl who accused him and make it look like she's a liar and all these things. And she sent her barbs after her. And I mean, I personally am just really surprised that this was like the straw that broke the camel's back. I can't really wrap my head around like why.
I think it's because Megan didn't say Nikki's name at all, right? All she said was Megan's Law. And I think that's what really struck a chord with people. Because before, like, people may have mentioned Nicki's name or said she was mean, and that way the fans are like, you can't talk shit about her. But this one, Megan didn't say Nicki's name. And I think that's the biggest difference this time.
Yeah, and like honestly, Megan is so easy to root for.
That is facts. That is like 100% the truth. And, even if you don't necessarily like rap music, I think people still like Meg Thee Stallion.
She's just an extremely likable person. She's got a really engaging story, like we know that she lost her mom and like that's a big part of her whole thing. And like for Nicki to bring that up was also just like, it's like as if you didn't make yourself look horrendous already. Not even, but just like a fool. Like you made yourself look foolish. Then you're gonna bring up her dead mother.
And bring up a tweet from when she was 16 being like, my mom makes me mad. I'd love to slap her. Like, that's just what 16-year-olds say.
It's unhinged. And I'm just going to say it. I'm going to say the thing that, like, I've heard some people saying, and I've heard people talking about it, and we talked about it in our episode. Drugs are at play, okay?
Allegedly.
Allegedly, come on. She has a fucking song called Pills and Potions. Are none of us reading between the lines? Do you really think that when she goes on these fucking Instagram live rants for hours and hours, when she's talking a mile a minute and her eyes are popping out of her fucking head? Come on. This woman is allegedly not sober, and it shows.
Yeah, and even her diss track back was so terrible. I got it good on your good foot. Have a scab on your bad foot because you got shot. It's like,
God.
Nikki, you were doing so well. Like, no one was talking about the fact that your brother's a pedophile, that your husband's a pedophile. And your new album was doing well. It was viral on TikTok, which is what artists want now. And like, you just could have said nothing. And also, Drake should be thanking Nicki Minaj because Meg was way meaner to Drake than Nicki.
Hello.
And how bad does Nicki want to say Jay-Z and Beyonce? Like, how bad?
Well, I'm glad that you brought that up. Because everybody keeps making these Beyonce references or comparisons, and they're like, Beyonce would never. First of all, Beyonce and Nicki, I don't know why people feel the need to consistently compare every fucking female artist to Beyonce. Like, if you are a successful female artist, what you do will then be compared to the way Beyonce does it, even if you guys are not, they are, Nicki and Beyonce are not in the same league. They're not the same. Beyonce is like an old, I always say she's like an old school celebrity. She's like Prince or Michael. Nicki is not that girl. Nicki has always been messy. So like people's shock that she continues to be messy is shocking to me. I'm just like, where did we lose track of who Nicki Minaj is? Like, has she not always been this girl? It's just that now it's so absurd and it's so ridiculous that you can't ignore it. And that diss track was so embarrassing for a woman who at this point is a legacy artist. It's embarrassing. Like, that song was fucking embarrassing, and it's out now in the world, and it has changed the course of her career.
I completely agree with you. Because again, Nicki was having a big comeback with this album. Everyone was saying high heels on my tippies. Everyone. It's sad that she still hasn't learned. It's sad that she still feels the need to do this stuff. And I saw like a lot of people saying she's just mad that WAP was better than Hot Girl Summer. Like that's what it comes down to is like her song with Cardi was more popular than her song with Nicki.
I also was thinking about, I was talking about this with Zach the other night in reference to like the conservatorship of it all. And just like how scary it is when an artist is like at the point that she's at, where like the whole world is like, come just basically everybody's saying she's crazy, right? Like the common narrative is that Nicki's crazy. And with the amount of money that she has and the amount of control that she has and the fact that she's like written most of her music, like there's so much money at stake. And it just is kind of scary from the perspective of just like, I don't know. Like, I could see at some point them doing something to like get that catalog, and you know what I mean? And like lock her up in some crazy situation. We've seen it happen a million times. Like, she's on the cusp of something like that happening, I feel.
Do you think though, like it could be good for her? Not a conservatorship like Britney, right? Because conservatorships happen.
Yeah.
And maybe for her to just kind of get it under control and kind of get back on track. Like I think it could actually be a good thing, but I don't see Nicki Minaj ever saying, I need help.
Yeah.
Like this would be good for me. Like, no, she's says she has five more songs she wants to release.
Yeah.
It's like that's how you want to deal with this. You're losing. You're really losing pretty bad right now. Meg hasn't said, she hasn't even said anything, I don't think, right? She called into Charlamagne and I know she was on Good Morning America today, but that was more about like her album and tour.
Yeah.
So she's being like a smart businesswoman. She's like, you know what? My name's being talked about. I'm not going to say a fucking word. So Nicki Minaj looks way crazy. And I'm going to get a prime spot on Good Morning America. And I'm going to tell everyone I have a new album and a new tour coming out.
I think honestly, all it's done is make people feel more endeared to her, feel like they love her,
Absolutely.
want to support her more. And it helps that she's like so insanely talented. So it's not even coming from like a fake place. Like she really is that girl. So it's just like so easy to get behind her. And honestly, I mean, you know that I'm like a big Lil' Kim fan. And when we did our Nicki episode, I talked about the fact that like Nicki, in my opinion, does not, she always gets angry at female artists when they don't kiss her fucking ass and worship her publicly. Or if they outshine her in any way, if they outsell her, whatever. It's like she's cool with you up until you don't kiss the ring. And then all of a sudden there's a problem. And I just find it ironic given how she was introduced to the music industry by, you can call it what you want, but I'm sorry, by copying and obsessively trying to fucking torment Lil' Kim. Because she was threatened by her and it ended up working. And she stole Lil' Kim's entire aesthetic and her whole style and the name for her fucking fans. And like she did it maliciously, like violently. Like it was like really intense the way she came for this woman who had never done anything to her. So she, to me, it's like as far back as I can remember, even knowing who she is, this has always been how Nicki is, you know?
I mean, her line, 50K for a verse, no album out, that was a shot at Lil' Kim.
Right. And the fact that she said the one of the first things she said in that live was like, you know, Euphoria or whatever, like her Grammy. She brought up the Grammys. And it showed her entire hand immediately. It's like you are so fucking bitter and you have no reason to be. You are Nick, you're the most popular female rapper in the world. Like you are the girl that the other girls are aspiring to be. You are Nicki fucking Minaj. Like you successfully crossed over into pop in the most mega way ever. Like you've done it all. You've done everything that the girls dream. And you're threatened by like newcomers in the industry when you were once a newcomer who was like violently coming for girls that have been who should have been your idols. I just am so blown away by the whole thing.
And it's crazy. I saw someone make a TikTok. I wish I had their name, but they were like, Nicki Minaj doesn't realize who Nicki Minaj is.
Yeah.
She doesn't need to be on TikTok. And Nicki Minaj commented, like, who the fuck you think you're talking to?
Yeah.
And the girl was like,
I
that's not what I meant.
Nick, I loved her response. And she was like, Nikki, please send me and my friends tickets to the show. We love you. We're actually barbs. Like, even her fans, she's like fucking attacking them.
Yeah. I don't think there's any good that will come from this, but honestly, Nicki Minaj in probably a month will release another song that goes with a fun TikTok video and
Yeah.
we'll be moved on from it.
The Barbs have a way of erasing our minds. They have a way of, they're very good at tricking us and Men in Black mind erasing us.
Well, I mean, I'm going to be looking in our DMs. We're going to get one that says, like, if you don't take down your part about Nicki, I will kill your family.
Yeah. Because the hilarious thing about the Barbs is that they take on Nicki's energy. They're one of the only fan bases that I know where they take on the actual energy of the artist. Like, they try and be her in the DMs. I'm like, it's so funny. But, and then also speaking of doxing, I'm sure a lot of you listening have heard that she doxed this TikTok creator named Bellatown. And I love his account. I love him. I think he's so funny. He's so smart. He reads people like he's been doing fucking drag for 40 years. Like he's like Bella. Like it's amazing. But he got doxed and you know, they're like reaching out, they're contacting his family and doing all this crazy shit. And he like apologized. And I
Yeah.
just feel bad that he apologized because it was like nothing that he said in that video was not accurate and smart and true and all the things.
And I just have to say, like, about doxing, you're fucking evil if you want to, like, dislike something somebody says and reach out to their mom and be like, I hate your son. I want to kill him. Like, you are a truly evil person. It's one thing to talk shit on the internet, it's one thing to, say, like, I'm annoying or Troy's whatever. It's a different thing to reach out to my mom and be like, your daughter's the most annoying girl I've ever met, and I want her dead.
Especially for somebody who does not know that you are breathing.
Nicki Minaj doesn't give a fuck about you. And that goes for like any fandom.
Yeah, of course. Oh my God, I've come to terms with the fact that Britney Spears would shatter a fucking glass in my face if I walked up to her, probably. And I'm okay with that. You have to like accept the fact that these people don't know you. And she's using you in a manipulative way to attack people who are in their well within their right to talk about her fucking husband or her like working with 6ix9ine or all of her attachments to people who fucking love children. You're allowed to have comments about that for a fucking multimillionaire who is dependent on you to continue her lifestyle. You're allowed to have thoughts about that.
This is the first time I've ever seen like every fandom come together and be like, Barbs are bad. Let's stream Meg.
I know. I know. And people are really truly retiring their Barb cards, which is crazy to see. Like, it's really, I don't think I've ever seen anything like this before.
It's definitely been a while. It
Yeah.
really has. And like I said, probably in a month we'll forget about this and we'll move on. But Meg Thee Stallion's just been through enough. Like, that's simple. Like, come on. And what are you just calling her Bigfoot? She's 5'10. Like, that's like just a tall girl. Like, get a different fucking insult.
Oh my God. And you went from having a song that was viral on TikTok for the good reasons to now having a bunch of audio clips that are insanely viral on TikTok that make you look absolutely horrendous and insane.
Glad
That
we
our,
got
is
that out of the
that
way.
it?
Yeah.
Okay. Is that the Nikki corner?
I think so. It might pop back up later in the episode, but for now, yes. One thing I did want to talk about, which we touched on a little bit in our public episode, which you'll hear tomorrow, and I'm still not going to tell you who it is. Blind item brain rot. I really think doing this podcast, and I'm sure listeners agree, I just like there are certain things I cannot enjoy. And I last night, I'm very lucky that this is what kept me up at night, trying to figure out why I can't get behind Taylor and Travis. Because I was laying there and I'm like, they have everything I should like. I like Taylor Swift's music. I like Taylor Swift. Like, I love football, hate the Chiefs, but love football. And I'm like, what is it? And I genuinely think it's we've done so many episodes of all of her relationships being fake. Like, these blinds have rotted my brain. Even I saw like Rihanna hired a female bodyguard, and I'm like, that's not just a bodyguard.
Yeah. I agree. It's true. It's like completely ruined me in a lot of ways. And I actually, as a person who's not a Swiftie, I've never like had like an attachment to any of her relationships. I've just like observed them. And some of them I thought were like more interesting than others. But this one in particular is maddening to me. Like it actually is driving me fucking insane. And I saw it was so weird to see her posted. Was it the Shade Room? I want to say it was the Shade Room that it posted, and they were like, listen, stop fucking showing Taylor Swift on TV at these games. Other celebrity women go to these fucking football games, other celebrity wives. Ciara is there all the fucking time. Stop. Like it's every 5 minutes there's a close-up of Taylor Swift. And obviously it's like getting people to watch. Like they're doing it because it's getting crazy viewers to get that moment of her like clapping or whatever. But it just feels so disingenuous. Like it feels so like I can't believe people are genuinely falling for this.
And even the video that's come out, like, I feel bad because my friends are in group chats talking about how much they love them. And I can't, like, I'm like just quiet. But the
Yeah.
video that's going around where it's like, he says, I'm going to go celebrate with the boys. And then it's muffled. And people are like, he said, I love you. We just heard them say, I love you. And again, like, I think it's the blind item brain rot thing. Because if I wasn't doing this podcast, I'd probably be like, that's actually really sweet. But now I'm like,
Watching
no.
things. I'd be watching football, which is crazy.
Are there like any moments that you have to like take a step back, do you think?
As somebody who loves like movies, like I love going to see new movies. I love seeing like all the Oscar movies and stuff. That's really like just movies in general. Like the music industry is already so rotted. I've always known that even before we did this podcast. But like going to the movies is difficult because there's always somebody in a movie or some director or somebody that we've just talked about or planned on talking about. And I'm like, oh my God, this person was probably groping everybody on set, or, you know, or if I see a kid on anything, especially after, who was it that you had said? It was a celebrity that said, like, pretty much every child star is like groped or touched inappropriately.
It was the Family Matters episode of Dark Side of Hollywood. So Darius McCrary said on the Dark Side of Comedy, they have like an episode on Vice, that basically every single child in Hollywood has been touched one way or another.
That has never left me. And every time I see a kid on anything, I'm like, oh my God.
Like, you hope there's someone that can protect them on set.
Yeah. Especially when not to, I mean, every kid deserves to be protected, but especially when they're like, you know, you see these like extremely talented, very gifted child actors. And it's like so sad to think that they could lose that just simply based on some greedy piece of shit who can't like keep their hands to themselves, and you're going to now disrupt this person's whole future and wreck them.
I think about Jacob Tremblay all the time.
Oh God, see, I everything is ruined. That's why I have to be high all the time now.
No, for sure.
That's why I have to be stoned if I go see a movie. I have to like stand outside and smoke three joints before I go in.
Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soaps or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with internet's best converting checkouts, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms.
And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. What I love about Shopify is no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. Shopify powers 10% off all e-commerce in the US, and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/blinds, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/blinds now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/blinds. Well, aside from Nikki, I don't know if you guys, this has been the week of like wild music industry shit happening. But we do have to talk about Britney and Justin. I don't know if I need to, because I don't think we recorded since Selfish happened.
No, we recorded when it was like being hyped up. But can I just say something about Britney Army very quickly? You guys are some of the most powerful and petty people I know.
You know what it is? We learned. This is what I always say. Like in my mind, I look at the Britney Army as like a colony of ants that have had to work together for a very long time for a common goal, even before people knew we were doing it. So, like, since we've been doing Free Britney for like over a decade, we're very good at when it's time to like gather, we are very good at gathering. And we will handle whatever needs to be handled. Basically, whether Brittany likes it or not, she basically doesn't have a choice in the matter at this point. But if you have been living under a rock or don't have connection to the internet or television for the past week, the Brittany Army charted Brittany's over 10-year-old song from her Femme Fatale album, a bonus track, by the way. Not even, I mean, it doesn't get more deep cut than a bonus track from a 10-year-old album. Charted her song Selfish over Justin's, and also charted like a couple of her music videos, like got them whatever. And it was really honestly Like, I've never seen anything like it. I've never seen a person's album cycle be disrupted in such a way. And the fact that it was so big that, like, there's no, I mean, his team must have been like, what do we do?
He had to have reached out to Britney.
Do you think?
I truly believe that it was Justin who reached out to Britney, not a team, not anything. Because I think if he did, Britney would be like, "Can you believe Justin's tame thinks Adam likes the hard things?" I think it would have to be Justin or like JC, like a very close Justin adjacent,
Oh, okay, yeah, maybe Lance.
but not a manager, if that makes sense.
Yeah. I could see an NSYNC member being like, hey, could you lay off a little? Or can you tell the dogs to calm down?
And she's like the only artist that ever has.
I know. And you know, the endearing thing about Britney is like, no matter what, no matter how much her personality has changed or been affected by everything that she's been through, she's still kind to a fault. And, you know, she was like, she took the high road as she always does and was like, Justin's song Selfish is good, you know, just to be like, put some positive press out because the only press about this single has been about her. But I do have a theory that I want to run by you.
Okay.
I've been like racking my brain with this.
You were up about this. I was up about Taylor and Travis.
Yeah, both just rocking with the windows open, the curtains blowing. So I have been kind of following this album cycle of his like pretty closely, like his interviews and stuff. And before his album came out, he said, because I'll be honest, I was excited to hear the song because it was his first song in a long time with Timbaland, and he didn't work with Timbaland on Man in the Woods. And he was saying in his press cycle that like it's a return to form, Future Sex Love Sounds, and I love Future Sex Love Sounds. And they were saying that he's making dance music again, and they kept saying in every interview, "Fun Justin is back, like dance Justin is back, the way that you love him, whatever." And he even said in one of his interviews, like that the people on his team and the people that he's friends with were saying, like this is what we hoped your new music would sound like, and it's what we expect from you, and whatever, like in a good way. Then he releases this song, not produced by Timbaland, not fun, not dancey, not Future Sex Love Sounds, not old Justin, like none of the stuff that he promised, like, or that they promised. It's none of those things. And I was thinking they must have last minute changed the first single because of Timbaland.
I was thinking because of all the divorce rumors and Justin, and Britney's book isn't loving, he's not caring. So why not release like a Mirrors 2.0 type of song?
So stupid.
I completely agree. Release Rock Your Body 2.0.
I mean, the way that I would be willing to look past how much I hate him for any kind of like semblance of old fun, because I like Justin's old music. I do, you know? But I feel like the team was like, I don't know if it's best to send you out on the fucking road right now with Timbaland, because
Yeah.
you are.
I think that also makes sense. I think maybe a little bit of both.
I agree. I think that that's a really good. I didn't think about the divorce stuff.
Yeah, and I don't think you can have people like stepping on your head about how you treat women and come back with like a song being like Dance on Me or whatever. Instead, I need to have a song where you have my whole heart. I am a good man and I just love you so much.
Yeah, and he even said on Jimmy Fallon that the song doesn't represent the album, which is a very odd thing to say when you're starting an album cycle to be like, well, this is the first single, but it's not like any of the other songs whatsoever. Like, that's weird.
Well, hopefully it's not like Man of the Woods, Justin.
Oh my God.
That
Anything that.
song is so bad.
Lord Jesus, have mercy.
So just real quick, I wanted to touch on Hayden Panettiere, who it has a show in New York, which is very exciting. But she did an interview where she talked about being on Nashville. And this is something I mentioned definitely in her episode, probably like randomly in other things. But she actually opened up about how the writers wrote her real life into the show. When she started the show, she was dating a football player. On the show, she dates a football player. And then once Hayden got into like, I'll call it the dark times, I don't know, she was written like that on the show. And she actually did an interview saying how much that hurt her and how that really like affected her that she couldn't separate work in her actual life.
It made me feel like she listened because I thought about you. You literally said that so many times in the episode.
I know. I was like, hi, Hayden.
That is so fucked up. And it's also so brave of her to admit it because then it confirms like a lot of stuff to people who are like speculating about her life.
Totally, totally. And like the Gossip Girl actors have said, the writers did the same with them, same with One Tree Hill. So I wish I knew like what other shows, because to me, that's the most interesting part of any show. Like the obviously like how it's made, but why is all of a sudden this character going crazy?
Yeah, that's it's very manipulative and it's just like it's sad and it's like sad to think that in like the glory years of her career like she was struggling so bad privately and probably just needed like healthy supportive people around her to be like you need help.
Her as Juliet Barnes should have been her most iconic role.
Yeah.
She was so good singing too. Like, she can fucking sing.
And didn't those songs like chart? Like those songs like did pretty well when they came out.
So the thing about Nashville is they used like local Nashville writers. So all those songs are catered to the character.
Interesting. Can we get a Nashville reboot?
I know. But like,
Please.
no, Hayden, please. Don't let her go through that again.
Yeah, just Connie.
Yeah, we need bring her back to life.
This week's episode is sponsored by Rocket Money. So, my personal favorite thing about Rocket Money, and I know that many of you will understand this, I'm subscribed to so many things that I literally have lost control of it and I've just given up. Like, I don't know what I'm paying for. I don't know what subscription services I'm supposed to be watching and don't. I have boxes coming to my house of things. I'm paying for things that it's a nightmare. And Rocket Money actually really does help you clear that up. If I asked you how many subscriptions you have, would you be able to list all of them and how much you're paying? If you would have asked me that question before I started using Rocket Money, I would have said yes. But let me tell you, I would have been so wrong. I can't believe how many I had and all the money that I was wasting. Do you ever feel like money is just flying out of your account and you have no idea where it's going? Well, I know. It's those subscriptions. Think about it. Between streaming services, fitness apps, delivery services, parenting apps, it is endless. I'm guilty of this, so I use Rocket Money to help me find out what subscriptions I'm actually spending money on. It was eye-opening, and I had them cancel the ones I don't want anymore. The other day, I got charged for a like streaming service app that I will not name, but I don't use anymore. Haven't used probably since the moment I downloaded it to watch one thing. I subscribed to it forever ago. And honestly, I completely had forgotten about it because it was one of those like annual charges that I stopped using. And I tried to cancel it. And the only way to do so was by calling their customer service number. But of course, they're only available from 10 to 5. And who calls people anymore? So what did I do? Nothing. Because Rocket Money, on the other hand, was able to take care of it so easily for me. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills. I can see all my subscriptions in one place, and if I see something I don't want, I can cancel it with a tap. I never have to get on the phone with customer service. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has helped save its members an average of $720 a year with over $500 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/blinds. That's rocketmoney.com/blinds. rocketmoney.com/blinds.
Now be a good time to let you know this episode is also sponsored by Lumi. Want a New Year's resolution that won't have you tangled in an elliptical or eating the world's most depressing salads? Here's one, Smelling Better Naked. Lumi is a game-changing whole-body deodorant designed by an OBGYN to work not only on pits, but also feet, private, and anywhere else we get odor. No matter where you use it, Lumi is clinically proven to block odor all day long thanks to its one-of-a-kind pH-optimized formula, and they've got over 275,000 five-star reviews to show it. Make the switch to Lumi, and this year will be about head-to-toe confidence, no salads required. For new customers, you can get $5 off Lumi's starter pack with our exclusive code and link. Use code BLINDS at LumiDeodorant.com. That is LumiDeodorant.com. So one of the things that I love about Lumi is I actually use it to go to the gym. So when I'm tangled in an elliptical, I don't want to be smelling. And you know what? I get a sweaty back, okay? We're all friends here. I can talk about it. When I work out, my back gets so sweaty. And with Lumi, I just rub it back there and I don't have a giant sweat stain, which I personally love. But Lumi is seriously safe to use anywhere on your body. Pits, underboob, thigh folds, belly buttons, butt cracks, vulvas and feet, literally anywhere on your body. It's created by an OBGYN who saw firsthand how normal body odor was being misdiagnosed and mistreated. It is clinically proven to block odor all day long and control odor up for 72 hours. And it's also baking soda free and paraben free, which I personally love. And it also is pH balanced for safe use below the belt. So for Lumi's starter pack, it's perfect for new customers. It comes with a solid stick of deodorant, cream tube deodorant, two free products of your choice, like mini body wash and deodorant wipes, and free shipping. So as a special offer for our listeners, new customers get $5 off a Lumi starter pack with code BLINDS at LumiDeodorant.com. That equates to over 40% off your starter pack when you visit LumiDeodorant.com and use code BLINDS. This episode is also sponsored by ZocDoc. Are you that one friend in the group who loves to treat yourself? It's okay. Honestly, we all do it. You know you. Get a pedicure and opt for the extra 10-minute foot massage with green tea infused lotion. You refuse to make coffee at home because that fancy coffee shop is right downstairs. You want extra leg room on the plane because your vacation starts now. Well, if you treat yourself to top options with everything else in life, why settle when finding a doctor? It is your health after all. Enter ZocDoc, the place where you can find and book tens of thousands of top-tier doctors with verified patient reviews. So don't settle. Go for the best and find the right doctor for you. With ZocDoc, you've got more options than you know. ZocDoc is a free app and website where you can search and compare highly rated in-network doctors near you and instantly book appointments with them online. For me, I use ZocDoc because I hate going to the doctor. I really have like a really big fear, and somehow being behind a screen makes me feel more comfortable talking about it, going and, you know, just kind of being like, hey, I need XYZ for this, and I don't have to leave my living room, which is beautiful. So go to ZocDoc.com/blinds and download the ZocDoc app for free. Then find and book top-rated doctors today. That's ZocDoc.com/blinds, ZocDoc.com/blinds. So Liam Payne has some new music that's being like circulated, and it's mostly on TikTok, but a lot of people think the background vocals are actually JC Chazé, and I so hope they are. It sounds so much like him. And I guess on Liam was on like a Discord and somebody commented, is that JC? And he responded, I've always loved NSYNC. It's like JC wants to work with everyone but NSYNC.
You know what? If JC is just making money by like ghostwriting and like ghost singing on people's songs, like good for him.
I agree.
Because then he gets to maintain his lifestyle. Or whatever. I am in the middle of watching Griselda. And I have thoughts. First of all, this show is incredible. It is absolutely fucking insane. And Sofia Vergara is doing such an incredible job. Like, it is the role of her lifetime. She's put her entire fucking pussy in it. It is so, she's acting her ass off and she's really convincing. And it's so, I'm probably gonna finish it tonight. It's so good. That being said, Netflix is calling this like a reimagining, and that's the excuse that they're using for Sofia Vergara not looking even 1% like this woman. And it's like really odd to me because when I look at pictures of her, I've watched like a couple documentaries about her, like in preparation for the show. And to be honest with you, she looks like like a Colombian 80s Roseanne. Like, and that's not shade. Like, she's sort of stout. She seems like she's a little bit shorter. Like, she had a very distinct look, and they've put Sofia Vergara in like all of these prosthetics. So basically, she is like a, I think she said everything above her eyes is fake. So she's a fake forehead, obviously wig. She's a prosthetic chin. I think she might be wearing fake teeth. She's got a fake nose on. And I'm just like, okay, like, but none of it looks like this woman. Like, they're putting her in these crazy prosthetics to look like a different person, but not to look like the woman that she's portraying. It's very odd to me.
Yeah, that's wild.
She
She
just,
doesn't look anything like the woman.
like, not even 1%.
Like, at least with Charlize Theron, they really tried.
Yeah. And I don't want to take away from her performance because, like I said, she's absolutely destroying it. And I think she said on one of the talk shows that she did that this has been like over a 10-year process that this has been in talks and casting and all of that stuff. So she's really like devoted to this character and she's killing it. But it also could have been really interesting for them to cast somebody who looks like her or to make her look like her. It's just like very weird. But if you haven't watched it, I highly suggest it. It's really good. And I'm sure she'll be nominated for something.
Something I want everyone to watch. So I'm like weirdly obsessed with Juggalo culture. Like,
Okay.
if there's anything about The Gathering or like ICP, I will watch it. I am sat. And I found this on Amazon Prime. It's called United States of Insanity. And it's, have you watched it?
Yeah.
Yes, I'm so glad. So. So this documentary, it's all about like juggalos and juggalo culture and how the government is calling juggalos a gang. And it's so interesting that like they're still classified as a gang. It got overturned for a second, then they're like, no, we can't let those juggalos loose. And their lawyer is like, then Swifties should be a gang. Then the Barbs should be a gang. Like, it's so interesting just to watch them talk about it. And at the beginning, they show like MS-13 gang members being like, this is our family. Then they show Juggalos being like, this is our family. And you're kind of like, okay, maybe I get it. Then halfway through, it just switches. And I just think everyone should watch it, whether you care about like Juggalo culture. But I think, I'm such a fan of so many things that like it's crazy that if I was this big of a fan of, I'll say Taylor Swift, we could be a gang.
Right, or like if it was a part of like the Taylor Swift culture to like paint your face because you're like whatever, you know.
And it
There's
seems,
like, oh, sorry, here you go.
no. What it seems to me is like Juggalo fans all seem to, from what this documentary said, it's like, and other things I've watched, it's like most of them don't have much of a family life. Their families have disowned them, and this is their family, and this is where they feel like comfortable.
You know, my favorite Juggalo thing of all time is when Tila Tequila tried to perform for the Juggalos. That's like a millennial core memory
Yeah.
of the Juggalos trying to get Tila Tequila off stage. If you guys have never seen it, there's this video. It's like the peak of Tila Tequila's music career. So she's like a MySpace celebrity,
I
honey.
don't
She
want to fuck your man.
is.
Everybody know he my number one fan.
Very bad. And she shows up at a juggalo event to perform Fuck Ya Man. When I tell you that these people pelted her with water bottles full of urine, and she refused to get off stage and just got the shit beat out of her, and it was all filmed. Like, that is so visceral in my memory.
I'm not saying juggalos are the most peaceful.
I don't think that represents all the juggalos. Tila Tequila was very triggering.
I don't know. I've never watched anything where like halfway through I'm like, all right, well, if you're showing them with gang members, so I guess I could see this. And then I'm like, wait, no, they're fans.
You show up to our next recording with face paint and
I can promise you that won't.
what's their soda called? Faygo or whatever?
Faygo. They love a Faygo. And
Yeah.
in like Plymouth, Massachusetts, there are a lot of juggalos, so much so that bars sell Faygo in downtown Plymouth. Main Street, if anyone goes to Main Street Sports, you'll see Faygo.
Faygo and like the hair gel industry is very loyal to the Juggalos.
Yeah.
I wanted to talk about I want to have like a Bravo moment for a second because there's a lot going on with Bravo. So first and foremost, we know officially that Monica has been fired from the Real Housewives of Salt Lake City, which is like very polarizing. People are either in support, they do not like her. I was actually just listening to Kate Casey and she was on Carlos King's podcast, Reality with the King, and they were talking about it, and Kate was like, she made some points that I thought like were really good, and she did kind of change my mind because I'm very team Monica. But she brought up like how, you know, dangerous it is to have somebody like her around, and you know what she did kind of like went really far, like, you know, having access to cameras inside Jen's home and like driving by their houses and stuff. Like, it's like really treacherous shit, and that is true. But Bravo decided to do this documentary with Vanity Fair. I've never seen them do this for a housewife being let go, where they, you know, talked about the last episode. They interviewed Heather, and they talked about like, you know, all the producers were in the special talking about like their involvement and, you know, how it all went down, basically to clear their name, to confirm that they didn't know before, because they want people to believe that they didn't know about Reality Von Teese, which I don't believe. But they did make some compelling points about why they didn't know. They were like, you know, if we knew, like, there was no way that we could have guaranteed that this would be good for the show. It could have destroyed the whole season. And like, for legal reasons, we could have not been able to use a lot of stuff. Like, it could have fucked up the show really bad. So I understand that, but I still think they knew. But I'm kind of sad. Like, I just don't know what the show is gonna. I don't know how you bounce back from that. Like, how do you bounce back from a Monica season?
I mean, for sure they're not going to, and they're
Yeah.
just gonna like talk about it a lot, talk around it a lot.
Yes.
And I would have been more team Monica had I not seen the third part of the reunion. Because like after that, I don't know how you could support. Like she had access to Jen Shaw's home. Jen Shaw, very bad person, right? Like her being locked up is good. But that doesn't make it okay because it's not like Monica was like, she said she wasn't an FBI informant. She was just asked things.
Yeah.
So, like, you really didn't have business because you weren't an informant. And you can't be like driving by someone's house to check if they're drinking and driving.
Yeah, what the fuck was that? Like, she was getting caught up in so many lies, and then her using listening to the cameras in Jen's home, and then using the stuff that she's hearing Jen say about the women as leverage. That's like some it's like sexual thriller 90s movie type shit. Like, it's giving swim fan. Like, seriously, like, that's like wild. And then to this is another point that Kate Casey made. Like, she shits on the show. She talks about how the show was doing so poorly. She hates these women. She hates the cast. Like, obviously, she's like isn't loving production, but then like you've manipulated your way onto the show, but to what, like destroy the cast? Like, what was to blow it up? Like, I don't know. RIP Monica, will go down in history as the most explosive one season wonder in Housewives history. I would be shocked if, because Andy called it, much like he calls Dorinda being put on pause, he said that it was a quote, cooling off period, was how he referred to it. So maybe there's a world where, in like a year or so, we'll see Monica be like a friend of or something.
All they need is one bad season.
Yeah, and I believe, I don't know how you bounce back from that. Like, next season's gonna be boring. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I don't know. And I will always think production knew who she was.
Yeah. How could they not know?
I mean, Jen Shah had a case against her.
And
And
like,
just because
how?
she had like multiple last names, I don't fucking believe that. Because I'm sure you give your social security for a background check.
Right. And like, this was her whole life, like her whole existence, aside from being a mom, revolved around this stuff. So like, how could you not know if you're filming her 24/7? I don't know. I think it's crazy. And the burn book was such a misstep. Like, it was so bad. Like,
And I think it's frustrating for her to just be like, well, Jen's a bad person. It's like we all agree with that. And I think Heather's fucking stupid for lying for Jen. You
yes.
know, I think what Heather did was also very fucking stupid, and she should have to like maybe pay a consequence, but I know she's also kind of the face of Salt Lake. But just Monica just being like, well, Jen's bad. It's like you're bad too. Like you're both bad just in different ways.
Right. Like, yeah, her bringing that up over and over and over, like, why are you getting mad that I'm defending Jess? You're defending Jess. Like, that's not what they're not defending her. They're just saying, like, you're also fucking psycho. And like,
Right.
thanks for getting her locked up or whatever, I guess. You feel what I'm proud about. And I also just wanted to really quickly mention the Ultimate Girls Trip lawsuit, which is like honestly ruined my fucking life. Caroline Manzo, oh my fucking God, bitch. You took Alex McCord away from me, and I will never. I have been putting Alex McCord out into the ether. I have been manifesting that for a decade. I really have. I've been talking about Alex McCord publicly when nobody gave a fuck about her, and it finally happens, and now I will never see the footage of her return to Bravo with Phaedra. Caroline, I'm on your ass, girl. And the interesting thing about this lawsuit is like none of the housewives support Caroline. That's interesting. They all, none of, she doesn't follow any of them on Instagram or on the internet. I think actually Alex might be the only one that follows her. But all of the women have publicly basically said that they support Brandy in this lawsuit, which is saying a lot. And Caroline is claiming in this, basically, you can read the lawsuit now, it's public. She talks about Brandy trying to kiss her and that she squeezed her thigh and that there were like moments where she was trying to leave the bathroom and Brandy was like trying to make out with her because she was so drunk. And she said that the producers were like supplying them with alcohol or whatever. And even though it was like not legal to be drinking where they were because they're in Thailand. And she says that all the women watched Brandy assault her and didn't do anything. Whereas like the women, specifically Camille, have said that they didn't see anything happen. And they are not supporting Caroline Manzo in this lawsuit, which is fucking crazy. So we're never gonna see this footage. I can't believe it. I'm honestly in shock. I'm honestly in shock that I waited 10 years for Alex to return to TV, and I'm not gonna see the footage because now it's tied up in legalities. I don't know. I'm just like really fucking pissed off and sad.
Well, when I first heard about this, I was like, of course, Bravo fans are just mad they're not getting their show. Like that, not that they don't care about like whatever. But then like Blair caught me up to who Caroline Manzo is. And I was like, wait. She wrote she wrote like a what is it, letter of character or whatever about someone who tried to kill like her sister-in-law or something.
Yeah, she basically like tore Danielle Staub apart for years on the on Real Housewives of New Jersey and talked about her being this dangerous woman who like is affiliated with the mob and blah 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 blah. When in reality, it's her family that is fully affiliated with the mob. Their father was murdered. They have had human heads and shit left in. I mean, mob shit that you could never believe. And this woman like created a spectacle trying to act like she was so afraid of Danielle when all of it was just like to d distract us from her family. And yeah, her sister, Dina Manzo, who she doesn't talk to, got like basically, I don't even know what word you would call it. Like, assaulted isn't even the word. Like, somebody tried to kill her and they beat her up so bad that she had to get plastic surgery. And it ended up Caroline was like involved. It's a whole fucking thing. She's a messy fucking queen. But yeah, Bravo people don't really like the Manzos. They don't really like Caroline. And it was a really big, I don't know. The fact that they even asked her to be a part of it was like shocking to a lot of people because she's maybe one of the least desirable housewives to come back. And then, of course, it turns out that this lawsuit is because of her, and people are really unhappy about that. I do also just want to say that she brought up her childhood trauma and that Brandy just triggered her childhood trauma because she has suffered sexual abuse. So I don't want to make light of that. And if she, who, none of us can say whether or not like she felt that or whatever. It's just, this whole thing is just really disappointing and frustrating.
Well, maybe they'll have the same cast just without her and Brandy. Maybe they can make that happen for you, Troy. We are powerful manifestors on this.
That is true. That is very true. I'm manifesting that fucking show being on Peacock next in the next month.
So we know we owe you guys a WWE episode. We know it's been 2.5, almost 3 years of promising. We're so sorry. But this is going to be like graphic and trigger warning. We're about to talk about a lot of stuff that's come out about or allegedly happened in the WWE. So this is from CNN. A former WWE staffer has accused the company's founder, Vince McMahon, of sexual assault, trafficking, and physical abuse in a lawsuit filed Thursday. The new allegations from Janelle Grant, who worked at WWE's headquarters, come more than a year after the conclusion of a WWE-appointed special committee investigated McMahon's alleged misconduct while serving as chairman and CEO of the company. McMahon retired from his role, and then after the investigation closed and he did nothing wrong, he's back with the company. So in the lawsuit filed, Grant alleged that McMahon promised a job and later promotions in exchange for sex. Grant's lawsuit also includes allegations that McMahon trafficked her to other men inside and outside of the company, including John Laurinaitis, a former wrestler who worked in the company's talent relations department. At the end of her employment in their sexual relationship, McMahon allegedly pressured Grant into signing an NDA in exchange for payments over several years, totaling $3 million. In a statement, the TKO Group Holdings said McMahon does not control TKO or oversee day-to-day operations at WWE. Led by McMahon, WWE and UFC, a mixed martial arts entertainment company, announced in April 2023 that they would combine to form TKO. So basically TKO is like, well, we're not a part of this, but this is just a little bit more about the disturbing allegations. According to the lawsuit, Grant was introduced to McMahon in 2019 when she was looking for work. Grant initially believed she was building a professional relationship with Vince, according to the lawsuit. The lawsuit alleges that McMahon eventually pressured Grant into a physical relationship as he dangled career-making and life-changing promises in front of her. After receiving a job at WWE, McMahon allegedly subjected Grant to acts of extreme cruelty and degradation that caused Grant to disassociate or become numb to reality in order to survive. One disturbing incident described in the lawsuit details an alleged sexual encounter between Grant McMahon and a quote friend of McMahon's in May 2020. During the encounter, McMahon allegedly defecated on Grant, commanding her to continue pleasuring his friend with feces in her hair. The lawsuit has also detailed an alleged sexual assault among Grant McMahon and Laurinaitis, that occurred at WWE's headquarters. Two men allegedly pulled Grant behind a locker door, forcibly restraining her as she begged them to stop. And one of the men allegedly said, "No means yes."
He says, "Christ. Holy fuck." Yeah. So we have mentioned in the past that, you know, the rumor has always been with the WWE and the wrestling world that, like, the casting couch is crazy and violent, and that it's happening with men and women, just like in Hollywood, where, like, male wrestlers are being told that they have to sleep with, you know, whoever, and obviously that stuff's happening. That is horrendous.
And it's just tip of the iceberg, honestly. Yeah. I can't even imagine what other things are going to be said. And now, like, people on TikTok and Twitter, like actual wrestle heads, I guess, they're talking about weird storylines. Like, there was one where Vince was trying to convince his daughter Stephanie to say that she was pregnant by him. Like, a lot of just really weird shit. And Triple H was doing a conference today and wouldn't obviously answer any questions about Vince McMahon.
You know, it reminds me a lot of, like, in the same way, like, with Hollywood back in the 80s and 90s, like, in the 70s too, it was just so lawless. Like, there was nobody talking about stuff like this. It was taboo to bring it up. And it was so much easier for these people to do shit like that. Whereas now, obviously, like, you can't just shit on somebody and then act like they're not going to fucking expose you. So it makes me wonder what stuff from the past will come out, because, like I've said, they tried to do a Me Too with the wrestling world and it didn't stick because it was men talking about being abused and, like, sexually assaulted and raped and trafficked, and all the world was like, men can't be raped. So then, you know, I mean, so I am anxious to see what will come out from the past too.
Yeah. And I hope that these victims, because obviously this girl isn't the first one.
Yeah.
I really hope that these victims get to talk and get to speak and share their stories, because just watching wrestling, you can tell it's, like, not a great environment to be in. And just another recommendation, but The Dark Side of the Ring on Hulu, it has so many crazy stories about wrestling. I mean, the fact that Owen Hart literally died during, like, WrestleMania, and they were just like, wipe up the blood, keep it going.
Yeah, don't pan the camera there.
Mm-hmm.
Also, go see Iron Claw if you want.
We're still mad about Zach. Thank you for asking.
Yeah. I guess the last thing that I wanted to talk about this week, to end on a lighter note, Margot Robbie released a coffee table book with her stylist, Andrew McCammell, and it's a I'm a coffee table book girl. You know that.
And a fashion girl.
Yeah, and a fashion girly. I am obsessed with a good coffee table book. And this one is by Rizzoli, who I think makes the best coffee table books. Like, any celebrity who's had a really great, like, Rihanna had one that came out a few years ago. They make the best coffee table books of any company. And it's a book that basically, like, it goes through all of her looks for the Barbie press cycle. So every red carpet look, every look in the movie, the reference that it was pulled from. Because I don't know if people know that, like, everything that she wore during the press cycle for this movie was obviously a recreation of a iconic Barbie look, but each of them was done by a different designer. So they were all custom pieces from head to toe by Chanel. And I mean, it's, like, crazy. So it's really an amazing concept. She posted the cover of the book on her Instagram, and it's so fucking cool. And yeah, I just wanted to shout out that I'm excited for that book and that people should buy it, because we're lucky to be living through this Barbie moment. It's just, like, fun.
Margot Robbie is so incredible. And she actually said something where she was like, people are going to get sick of me. I'm like, not you, Margot.
No, it ain't possible, gal.
That's cool. I bet you that'll look really cool. And I keep saying cool, my God. But it's nice that she was able to do that and people didn't get sick of it. Like, usually people would be like, we got it, you played Barbie. But with this, people were more excited to see what she was wearing.
Yeah, and I think it's because they did it so well and they did it so respectfully. And like for the people who are like really intense about Barbie, there was so much attention to detail paid that like it just feels really respectful. Everybody involved actually cared about making this like great. You know what I mean? And not just about it earning a bunch of money.
Yeah, well, I can't wait for you to get it and then I'll look through it.
No, I'm very excited.
So that kind of, that wraps up our week. Pray for our reviews. If you're feeling like generous, feel free to leave us a kind review.
It's over for us.
We're done. My mom is gonna get that message.
1000%. I have to tell my mom to watch out for the barbs and like, check the backseat of her car before she gets in it now.
And with that, we hope you guys, I mean, you got two more episodes this week, and I think you're really gonna like them, but we hope you have a great rest of your week.
And we love you very, very, very much.
Bye.
Bye.
Seeking the truth never gets old. Introducing June's Journey, the free-to-play mobile game that will immerse you in a thrilling murder mystery. Join June Parker as she uncovers hidden objects and clues to solve her sister's death in a beautifully illustrated world set in the roaring 20s. With new chapters added every week, the excitement never ends. Download June's Journey now on your Android or iOS device, or play on PC through Facebook Games.